Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Green and Blacks. A rich, smooth, and truly delicious chocolate experience.
A new book by a young man called Connor Nolan that's called Normal focuses on his struggles with anorexia and also mental health issues as a teenager. And Connor is hoping that by sharing his experience with other people, it'll help young men to open up about their mental health concerns. Connor joins us here on Lunchtime Live this afternoon. Connor, thanks for being with us today. Tell us about your story.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
So I suppose it's a tale of personal experiences between the ages of 10 and 20. And to every personal experience, as I say, mental health and otherwise, I tie, I suppose, like a lesson or an idea to it. Something I've learned that I hope I can pass on to other people. So it starts off with, as you said there, I suffered with anorexia at a very young age, at the age of 12. So I had a battle with that for about 2 years. So that's where my story really started. And I suppose I got thrown in at the deep end with a battle of mental health at a very young age.
Okay. So. Just tell us, Connor, about a little bit about yourself when you were 12 and dealing with anorexia. When did you realise that you were suffering from it?
Absolutely. So when I was 12, like, I was a very keen footballer. Like, I loved football, and I had this idea in my head that, you know, I wanted to be the best physical athlete I could be. You know, I wanted to be able to run the fastest and be the strongest and all this sort of thing. So at a very young age, I started running and doing all this sort of, you know, gym work and that sort of stuff. So, but I found anorexia sort of creeping in hindsight. I got this idea into my head that the more weight I lost, you know, the faster I would run, and that the more weight I lost, basically I would be a better footballer. And this is the idea that sort of crept in. And I suppose to describe that and to make sense of that for myself and for everyone else in the book, I describe anorexia as like a monkey or like a creature that comes in and takes over. As I say, it used my goals against me. So in hindsight, I could see that my sporting goals was what allowed the anorexia to creep in and to take over.
It's you know, we don't commonly hear, I suppose, of young men, Connor, like yourself, coming out and speaking about their struggles with anorexia. Is it more commonplace than we might think, or is it just that maybe a lot of young men like yourself don't, you know, just maybe mightn't talk about it openly?
It definitely is more. It's more common in girls, definitely, but it does play its role in men also. And I think that the unexpected nature of it in men does add a certain effect to it. But like you said, I think the fact that men don't speak out as much, I think that does lead to that does contribute to the fact that we don't hear as much about it. You know, that's why I say I do believe that stigma affects everyone, but I do particularly aim the book at young men, as I say, to get over that stigma in that sense.
So when you were around 12 or 13 years of age, what was the relationship like then with food and with your body, Connor, day to day?
It was very different to what, you know, you would see in the average young person. I was very aware of, you know, the content of certain foods and that sort of thing. And it was that knowledge that allowed my, you know, the anorexia to set in and take over. But one thing I have to say, like, I'm a huge believer that counselling, you know, the professional help, you know, really can, you know, change a life, whether it be with anorexia or depression or anxiety or anything. Like, for me, I was in counselling for 12 months and my relationship with food in that time completely changed, you know, it completely changed for the positive. So it was in a very bad space. I was very, very cautious of what I was eating and eating far too little, but the counselling really did change that.
And what age were you when you engaged with the counsellor, Connor?
I was just turning 13, so I was in it for about a year. So I came out just at turning 14. I came out
okay.
Finished.
So you addressed it quite early then?
Yes, yeah. I was referred on by a doctor. Like,
okay.
I lost, just before I started secondary school, I lost a lot of weight very fast, and it was a case of it had to be sorted fast, or I was in a lot of danger health wise. So I did get it sorted out very quick, thankfully, and I'm very thankful to the counsellor that I had. The job she did was brilliant, and
yeah,
that's why I say I can't put counselling on a high enough pedestal for the help it can do.
You're at that kind of a difficult age, really, aren't you? At sort of 12 or 13, and you're probably making that transition from primary to secondary school. And as you said, you were big into sport, and, you know, football was a big part of your life. Did you talk to your friends at that point, Connor, about it?
It's at the time, not really. Like, I was led to believe, I suppose, that mental health in general was a very sort of a hush-hush topic. So I remember I used to go to counselling, you know, once a week, and I would tell friends I was going to a dentist or something. I would never let on what was happening. And it was only in my late teens, you know, when I realised, I suppose, I confronted the stigma, and I suppose I confronted this idea that, you know, we really don't talk enough about mental health, you know, as people, you know. So when I was 19, I had a battle with depression, and I got to look at, I suppose, a struggle with mental health from an older and a more in tune with myself perspective, where I realised that, you know, this doesn't have to be a topic or something that we don't talk about. It's something that we can open up about and talk about safely, you know.
At that point, were you in college?
Well, no, I would have been in, just finished my first year of college.
Okay.
When I had my, I suppose, battle with depression. This was around the time that the idea for the book came in. I suppose what happened was I had a number of conversations with friends of mine where I would open up about my problems, and I opened up about the anorexia and things from the past as well, stuff I hadn't talked about in years. And what I realised was that when I opened up, friends of mine would in turn open up about their own life. And I noticed like a domino effect. And I realised that all it takes is for one person to start talking. And this continued over a period of months. And then it would have been December 2018, I was standing in a nightclub talking to one particular friend of mine, and I had an idea, and I said I would love to have this type of conversation with as many people as possible, but you know, that's not very doable. So I decided to write about it, and that was my idea, to put everything on paper in the hope that someone else like myself would open up as well.
Is the theme of the book, or the underlying theme, sort of stems from recovery then from anorexia, Conor? Is that...
Absolutely. I suppose the main theme of the book is talking and the art of conversation, and the entire book itself is wrote as a conversation. Between counselling and talking to friends of mine, I do believe that talking can change everything. So the art of talking is one thing, mental health is another. But I also talk a lot about, you know, young life in Ireland. And I talk a lot about, I would have grown up in, you know, in a rural area. And I talk a lot about that sort of small town negative mindset and what it's like to grow up, you know, amidst all that, you know. So I go into that in a lot of detail as well.
Just on that point, Conor, you talk about the, you know, that kind of small town syndrome, and sometimes it can be difficult to talk about things, or you might feel there's a little bit of a difficulty in, you know, when speaking out or talking about, as you said, anorexia when you were at a young age, and your own story with depression as well. Did you ever speak to anybody locally in your home area about your struggle with it?
Not really. No, I sort of like, as I say, with the, even with anorexia, you know, like it was something, I suppose, I kept, people could obviously see it, but it's something I kept very quiet. But I suppose what really struck me about the small town mindset, it was around around my mid teens. So this is where the title of the book Normal comes from. I noticed this was a sort of a small town mold that you have to, you know, be like this and be like everyone else around you, and that, I suppose, standing out is wrong. And that's why I do talk a lot in the book about, you know, but doing your own thing and staying true to your own values, and how being yourself in this life really is the best investment that you can make, despite how hard it can be, you know, growing up in rural Ireland. And that's a message I would love to give to other teenagers in a position like that.
Yeah, because there is a sort of, I think we all sort of think like that there is, you know, there is an expectation nearly, I think, when you come from a small town, that you slot into this normal. Well, you know, you do this and then you do that and you go there, and then this is the next sort of big life event. And if you do anything that isn't, you know, what everybody else in the town did, then all of a sudden you become, you know, there's something different about you, because you know, and I'd know that myself, coming from a small town too, Conor, that there is an expectation that you do things in a certain, you know, along the plan or along the route, and you might, if you fall out of that, people start talking about you. But did you find, did that bring pressure? Did you feel under, like, does that...
Absolutely. Like, as you said, you hit on the head there and you say about people talking. I talk a lot about the small town chit chat and how, like, you know, that definitely wouldn't have helped, I suppose, you know, when I suffered with anorexia, that really wouldn't have helped. And what I noticed was, you know, as you say, this idea about, you know, other people's opinions and other people talking. I do talk a lot about, you know, sometimes to do your own thing, you have to, I suppose, turn your back on the opinions and sometimes even the validation of others, you know, to truly do what you want to do and to truly be happy. So I do talk a lot about finding happiness and fulfillment in yourself and not relying on, I suppose, the validation or, as you say, the expectation of others.
Mm-hmm. How are you doing now, Conor? I mean, it's a great achievement to publish a book.
Thank you very much. No, I'm doing very well now. Like I've learned even from the writing itself. You know, I've come to an acceptance with a lot of things. One of the final things I talk about in the book is this art of acceptance. You know, I do believe that in order to get over anything, you know, not even just mental health problems, any other issue in your life, you have to confront it and face it in order to overcome it. But in order to face it, you have to accept it. So mm-hmm. I find that once you accept these sort of problems, which I had to do in my writing, that helps in, the recovery phase. So for me, the writing of the book itself was a very helpful sort of recovery process for accepting what has gone on.
Absolutely.
But
get it off your chest nearly and just put it all down on paper.
Absolutely.
And yeah, it's out there for other people to, you know, to take guidance or maybe advice from as well. I have a question in for you here to our News Talk text line today, Connor. This person is wondering, could you please ask Connor for some advice? I have a young teenage son who I think is struggling with anorexia. He doesn't want to talk about it. Could you please ask your guest today, what advice would he have for him? It's a good question.
Absolutely. So What I found was, like I say, I used to be a very keen footballer. Football was part of what sent me downhill, but football was equally responsible for pulling me, I suppose, back out of anorexia as well. I had a moment, about maybe 6 or 8 weeks into counselling, I had a moment where I realised that if I didn't get back to health and if I didn't get back to, you know, a healthier weight,
yeah,
I would never step on the football field again. And I had this click of the finger moment where I realised that I would never be able to get back to something that I thoroughly enjoyed if I didn't confront this and face it. But what I would say to this young man is that it is very difficult to talk. And one memory I have from the counselling process as a young man is that even though you know everyone means well, it can feel very confrontational. It can feel very intimidating. But my message to that young man is that everyone that is helping him, his family and beyond that, all have his best interest at heart and want to see him, you know, back to his healthier self. So my advice to that young man is that it will be difficult, but if he faces it along with the help of his family, he will thank himself in years to come and he will be a strong young man for that.
What age are you now, Connor?
I'm 21.
Well, fair play to you. We've a great text in here from somebody who says, this young lad speaks so well, everybody should be forced to listen to him speaking and to read his book, especially for young teenagers. Connor, I want to thank you for joining us here on the programme today and for sharing your story with us. Your book is called Normal. It's by yourself, Connor Nolan. Where can people get it?
It's available on Amazon at the minute. The paperback and the ebook are both on Amazon.
All right. Kate has got in touch too. She says, I'm a principal in a school in Dublin and I'd love to bring this fella in to speak to our young students. So listen, we might get you a guest speaking job yet, Connor, out of all of this
perfect,
when the COVID restrictions are over. But look, thanks again for joining us here.